You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we'll have a little bit of time at the end of the show to return to the latest outrage from Queen's Park about the $640 million that we're going to have to come up with to help the Ontario government pay for the things, pay for the cost of moving those two gas-fired plants. For the moment, I'm saying hello to Marianne Murphy, who's an associate professor in the School of Social Work at the University of British Columbia. Marianne, thank you very much for being here on Zoomer Radio.
You're welcome. Good morning.
I hear that you are also the co-chair of the Okanagan chapter of CARP.
Yes, I am.
Well, excellent. Then you've come to the right place, haven't you?
I think so.
The statistical figures that we were amazing ourselves with a few days ago, the most amazing one, I think, is that 75% of 20 to 29-year-olds in municipalities around Toronto here are still living with their parents. Now, I know the number's been coming up year by year, and the number's a little lower for the city of Toronto, but that's still a startling number, the 75%, isn't it?
Definitely startling. It's about 70, almost 77% in Richmond Hill, for example.
Oh, absolutely, totally amazing. What, and when you examine the reasons that are fueling this situation, what do you come up with?
Well, I think there are four or five main reasons. The first has to do with young adults, age 20 to 29, we're talking about, mm-hmm. who are being fiscally astute. Secondly, they are more educated than their parents' generation, and we can talk more later about why they're sticking around home for longer. That education is taking longer.
It's taking longer to get, isn't it? Yeah.
That's right. Some of them, and particularly in the small municipalities that you're mentioning, happen to be lucky enough to live near a university or college to make the whole arrangement work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a broader emphasis as well at looking at delayed adulthood. So what that means is that the transition to adulthood in many ways, but starting with leaving school, is being delayed and elongated. And it's quite dramatic compared to, say, 1971, when most of the boomers were probably leaving high school.
Yeah.
And finally, there's no stigma with respect to staying at home anymore. It's an okay thing to do.
There was a stigma before, wasn't there?
There was, and certainly I think for the Zoomers generation, they'll remember that it was a hallmark of being independent. You were expected to grow up and leave home. And in fact, around that time, about half of people did leave home right away after high school.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't wait to get out myself, but that's a lot of years ago now. You talk about thinking fiscally responsibly. The grown kids at home are realizing, hey, this is a pretty good deal, right?
It's more than a good deal, though. It's being fiscally astute because they realize they cannot live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
A lot of them will tell you that in high school now, they're being exposed to curriculum about finances. So they know about certainly rising university costs. And certainly in Toronto and places like Vancouver, they can't find decent housing if they live alone for under between $1,200 and $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
In Ontario, the average student loan debt is almost $30,000 that they're allowed to borrow, but the real debt, including private loans, is closer to $40,000.
Yeah.
And then finally, think about the national unemployment rate. It's very high. It's double the adult rate right now. It's about, probably we could say between 15 and 17% would be fair compared, depending on where you live.
Do we know essentially, and when you look at the whole situation, do we know how these young adults feel about staying in the family nest?
Well, they actually feel, as you said, that it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I guess, first off.
They're very aware, though, of, you know, at some point reaching adulthood and then the notion of purchasing their own home. And they're very aware these days, because my own students talk about this quite a bit, that all that rent money is going to someone else and it will delay your ability to pay off your loans and then furthermore to purchase a home.
Mm-hmm.
They know in some senses that they probably receive more emotional and psychological support at home. but also that they maintain a standard of living. They're millennials. They're not really willing to jump from a large, elegant home to a substandard basement suite. And
that room with a single light bulb in the middle of it.
That's right. And in fact, in the United Kingdom, they've been dubbed as kippers, which is short for kids in parents' pockets eroding their retirement.
Oh, that's great. Kippers. All right. But the other side of the coin as well is how the Zoomers feel about this.
Well, interestingly, a brand new study came out from TD Bank this week indicating that a number of the boomers are selectively choosing not to downsize, about 17% in a survey they just conducted, specifically because they expect that those adult children will be living with them when they retire. And if you think about it, they have far fewer children than they used to. I grew up in a family of eight. Yeah. I'm sure they were dying for some of us to leave, but now if you only have one or two children... In fact, those children overall have probably made you happy over time. And now you could look at this as a period where you can really enjoy them and get to know them, see them find their first girlfriend, you know, hear about their daily life at university, and also feel that you can help them out financially.
But for some Zoomers who may not have all the money in the world, that also represents perhaps an increased financial burden on the Zoomers.
Absolutely, and it certainly can put not just stress on their pocketbooks, but certainly on their retirement savings as well. We know that three-quarters of the parents living with these all boomerang kids, these are the ones who leave home and then come back
right
away.
And then come back, yeah.
Report being quite satisfied with their marriage, but it also depends on how many times that child wants to return home. After they leave and come back three or four times, it doesn't go so well at home.
No, you should get a coupon that's only good for so many returns, right?
There's an idea for you.
but it means that a family, it redefines a bit the whole notion of family life, because an awful lot of parents in years gone by never had the opportunity to live with grown children.
That's right. And certainly, you know, many parents will tell you that if they can work out the arrangements about chores and who pays for what, they can really enjoy having their adult children at home. And you can even go online these days and get a contract that you can write up with your children about who pays for what and who does what.
Oh, you're kidding. You can do that?
Yeah. For a fee, you can purchase a contract and get a guide to how to live with your adult children at home.
You got to have a contract to deal with your kids?
You may, because the problem is you never know when they're going to leave.
Yeah.
And it begs the question of when the good time to leave is, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, I guess it does. I just find it astounding that the age range, I mean, I understand 20 years old, I understand 25, but 29? And additionally, some of the information seems to indicate that these young adults are even delaying things like getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend or even thinking about marriage as well.
Well, the way it goes from a sociological point of view is to say that they really are delaying adulthood, and the first piece of that begins with staying in school longer. So consider, you know, when you graduated in the 70s, about half were leaving high school right away. Some people were going to war. So times have certainly changed, and we've built a lot more universities and colleges closer to home. So they have this opportunity that certainly their grandparents never had to achieve an education, and their parents are highly aware of the importance of that education and their long-term sustainability. But the interesting thing is, as displayed in the census data last Wednesday, is this really rise of what we call singlehood. So more young adults without girlfriends or boyfriends than with, which is quite a dramatic change from the 70s and 80s.
As I recall, also, yes.
Mm-hmm. And on the other end of that, one in four older adults living alone.
Yeah.
So I call it the rise of singledom.
Yeah. Well, that's not that's just a different trend. I can't see many negative aspects to that, can you?
No, I think when you think of how long we're living, so let's say an average life expectancy of, say, 82 in Canada, certainly in British Columbia where I live, if we're taking so much longer to grow old, I think it's fair to ask the question, then what's the problem with taking a little longer to grow up?
Well, yeah. If we're going to have, as I said a minute ago, if we're going to have a lot more non-nest time, let's have a little more nest time at the beginning.
That's right. And then that explains to you how that the ball starts rolling. So if you leave school later, you're going to stay home longer. They get their jobs later. And then it's true, they're postponing marriage and children.
Yeah.
Such that they're having children at older ages.
Well, which is also okay. I mean, that's a trend all by itself, isn't it?
It is a trend, but we're certainly in my neighborhood, I'm seeing more parents having children in their 40s and 50s. And it will be interesting to see when they get to be 70,
yeah.
You know, holding their sore backs and chasing their children down the street. It could get interesting.
yes, it could. But, I mean, essentially, overall, I think what we're saying is that there are few real negatives here unless it's a financial negative, right?
In a way, because the parents certainly, you know, for the most part, are happy with having those children at home.
Yeah.
There's a little higher degree of family arguments, but it's surprisingly low. It's about 10% from the evidence that we have.
10%, yeah?
Only 10% more family arguments.
Yeah.
And what we also see, though, is that they have the comfort of knowing that their child is not pouring all their money into rent.
Yeah.
They know how difficult it is for youth to find employment right now, especially seasonal if they're at university.
Right.
They can provide more emotional and psychological support, and they can give and receive help. So I think how they work out that notion of the chores and the role that you play is very important. But on the other side, you also want to make sure that you're giving your young adult the life skills that they need to be independent.
Well, that's what I'm... to me, that could be a possible negative, that living at home in the lap of semi-luxury with mom and dad there to pick up the slack might mean exactly that, that your notion of being totally independent as a human being might be somewhat held back as well.
Exactly. And one of my students made the argument the other day that it's a very important skill to learn to be alone.
Yeah.
You know, not even paying the bills, but just to have time and space around you to be on your own. And that she felt that that was a very important trait of learning to be an adult.
Yeah.
So are these millennials today too sheltered? I guess they'd have to answer that for themselves. But I'd be interested to hear from some of your listeners how they've worked out these arrangements in their own home.
That's a very good question, and I put that to all Zoomers out there. Here are the telephone numbers if you'd like to share some of your thoughts on this. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
You hear this kind of talk a lot lately. Well, you know, in today's marketplace, in today's workplace, one degree isn't really enough. And I think a lot of young adults are going for that second degree. And I guess, Marianne Murphy, that's one of the reasons that staying at home makes just good economic sense.
Absolutely, because they're definitely taking longer to finish those degrees.
Well, that's right, especially if you got one, if they got back-to-back degrees, you're talking a substantial number of years here.
Absolutely, and the price tag goes up accordingly.
Yes, it does. The other, is it a positive to think that if you had a grown kids at home and your parents are well into their 70s, that they having those kids at home, kids, I use the word with quotation marks, they can help out. They can be really part of this newly arranged household that could work quite well.
Possibly. Certainly, it would be nice to think that we could help them maintain their standard of living that the parents wanted to see them achieve, and at the same time receive some what we call mutual support.
Yeah. Well, it might even be mutual financial support. I mean, Zoomers who might be in a precarious financial situation, there'd be more money coming into the family, money that might be quite essential to maintain a lifestyle.
Yes, we don't know very much about how much rent some children are paying, and certain culturally, there's a different level of acceptability around charging your child rent or not. But on the far end of that, as you know, many of these Zoomers are in the sandwich generation where they are also attempting to care for their own parents. So
yeah.
This allows the children to stay closer and hopefully be more helpful to their own grandparents as well.
Imagine a household with all those generations mentioned. In fact, home builders, I think it was in B.C., were considering designs of houses that would accommodate three generations, maybe even more.
It's certainly common in Europe.
Yeah, it certainly is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Margaret on the line from Toronto. What are your thoughts on this, Margaret?
Well, I'm going to comment in a way something that hasn't been raised, and it's the sexual freedom of this time.
Oh, all right.
As opposed to the sexual freedom that the earlier generation didn't have. You can live with your beloved. You can have several partners. Like, when we left home, I mean, all those grown-up things were all appealing to us. And believe me, as well, you would know, living with somebody and so forth was not an option. You couldn't do that. So there's a sexual freedom today that's, you know, quite acceptable to society that was not in place.
Yeah, no.
Years ago.
That's true enough. What are you suggesting, that you could live at home and have your girlfriend or boyfriend live there too?
not when I was growing up, and I bet not when you were growing
up. No. Not even me when I'm a parent, I'm thinking, okay? All right.
Yeah.
Margaret, that's a very interesting thought. I imagine there must be cases like that, Mary Ann Murphy, where somebody would move in with
You'd be very surprised to hear how infrequent that is. It's about 2% only.
Really?
Of all the adult children living with their parents. And of course, on occasion, they may be a married couple, they may not be, and they may have a child with them, which raises, you know, issues of loving
Good
the grandchild
grief.
Or the babysitting trap, I suppose, on the other side of that.
Yeah.
But Margaret makes a great point. Certainly the level of stigma associated with any of these choices of lifestyles is really dissipating, and students today will tell you that whatever lifestyle you choose from their point of view seems to be acceptable. But what's more interesting is how few of those young people are actually, I would use the term, coupling off these days. It is the rise of singledom, and perhaps one of the reasons they're not involved with a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they're actually on their own is because they're living at home.
That's the very stumbling block. Yeah. What about the sexual freedom of the parents at home who have adult kids in the house?
Well, as you said, in the Toronto area that you described, they have very large homes.
Yeah, so I guess space would be the great compensator there. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly, and a separate entrance may help as well.
Or alarms on all the doors. I don't know, something like that. Here's Ron calling from East York. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, some of those houses have awful squeaky floors, too.
Yeah, no, they do. That's very true.
No, I'm just calling about my neighbor a couple of years ago. They did not want their daughter to move. She stayed there. I was 28.
Yeah.
Because they came up through the hard, dirty times, as they called it, and that.
Yeah.
And she lived there rent-free, but she had a job. Every dime she had went into the bank and that. And then when she had $25,000 saved up, it went on a condo down payment.
Yeah.
Because they did not want the daughter to suffer like they did when they were young.
That's a very... We always like to make it better for our kids than we had,
yeah,
right?
And you know what they're doing with the basement apartment now?
What?
They have a university student living there, very cheap rent, but he does the eaves trough, the windows, the grass cutting, and the snow shoveling.
Not bad. Thanks.
Very well.
Thanks very much for that, Ron. Ron, that's a very productive way to look at it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Marianne? Yeah.
Absolutely. What greater gift, if you can, than to give your children financial security into the future?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also, however, we have to look at the reality of Zoomers' financial situations. We know that many of them will not be able to retire as planned because they haven't been able to save. So certainly, if you can have a child also staying at home and helping out, contributing a bit on the other end of your, you know, income level,
mm-hmm.
that's a bonus as well. And I love the arrangement that he described for them to have a young person, a university student then move in and help them with chores so that they could stay at home for as long as possible. That's a brilliant arrangement.
Well, yeah, and you've already grown accustomed to the idea because you had a daughter that stayed home until she was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's Lucy on the line. Lucy, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi. I have two boys that have come back home. They're adult children, 23 and 25, and I have them pay rent.
Yeah.
Because I feel that just giving them a free ride isn't good. It also keeps them working or mm-hmm. going to school. Now, if they go to school, they wouldn't be paying rent.
Oh, that's the cutoff. That's the arrangement, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And I don't think it's healthy for children to just have a free-for-all. They've got way too much these days as opposed to our generation.
Back when we had to walk to school in a snowstorm uphill both ways.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you, Lucy. Well, there's an interesting rule. If you're going to school, maybe you don't pay rent, Marianne, but if you're not going to school and you've returned to the nest, you got to pay some rent.
Well, Lucy's situation of having two boys return at age 23 and 25 is quite common. It is more common for boys who tend to leave to find work and generally figure out in the end that they're alone and they can't get a good job or they can't hold on to a good job. So Lucy's making the very important point about whether or not this millennial generation is too sheltered, and she's saying no free ride. I'm willing to provide these living circumstances for you, but on a conditional basis.
Yeah.
Certainly she's helping them to develop some of those life skills towards independence that we spoke of earlier.
Where does this trend take us? Would you expect that if in the next few years the economy in Canada gets a little better and we recover from some of our earlier difficulties, that there would be fewer adult kids at home, or would it necessarily be affected by that?
It would be highly affected, I believe, because one of the large motives for all of this, of course, is financial. If you look at locations, I'll give you some Alberta examples,
right,
where the economy is strong and youth probably have to move away from home to take these jobs. I'll take Red Deer, for example. The proportion of youth living at home is only 20%.
Holy mackerel, what a difference, eh?
Yeah, and Grand Prairie only 13%.
Yeah.
So it's highly dependent on the economy. It is the economy, but it also has to do with housing costs, which we probably won't see much change in. So I think these youth are being very astute in asking themselves how much money they want to spend on rent and put into someone else's pocketbook while they're young. And they're highly aware of some of the financial goals that they have in their lives. And certainly, I don't know about you, but I was never exposed to financial curriculum in high school.
No, I had to learn it the hard way in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, just maybe, our kids are a whole lot smarter than we were.
Possibly. They're definitely thinking ahead. We call it planful competence. And certainly the family that Ron just described is a good example of that. There's another aspect as well that's interesting, and perhaps your listeners would comment, is whether by staying in the home, these young adults also receive some form of extended health or dental benefits under their parents' plans.
Well, yeah, but a lot of insurance plans, I mean, when you reach a certain age, as you know, or you're out of university, you're usually not covered. Those are tougher things to do, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Here's Eileen calling from Brampton. What are your thoughts, Eileen?
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, I'm a parent. My husband and I were married in 1970. I was 18. He was 23 or 22. And our two kids, thank God, have great educations because they stayed home. Both of them were here until they were 32. And our son, because he was here, was able to, we helped him when he went to university in Ottawa. Then he was able, because he was home, to get himself a condo, which he only had for 6 months. And for work, he's moved and he's doing amazing. Our daughter is doing amazing. And she says many times over, it's only because we had you guys that were doing as well as we are.
And that made you feel wonderful as well because you were able to help.
Well, this is the thing. She also says, kind of jokingly, and I say, no way. But she says, you know, Mom, you do realize that you had us at home for this long. You guys don't have to worry because you've got kids that'll look after you. And that's another nice thing to hear.
It's a nice thing to hear, isn't it? Yeah.
Plus, I grew up on the East Coast, or my grandfather lived with us the whole time, too.
Uh-huh.
So it's more our generation that seemed to be the first one that didn't have the extended family.
Yeah, that's probably true. Eileen, thanks very much. Your reaction to what Eileen is saying, Marianne Murphy?
Well, she's had an ideal arrangement, and certainly that notion of paying back over time what was given to you as a young adult is very influential in the way that, you know, what you see modeled in terms of taking care of older adults and providing the support that they need. So that kind of love definitely gets returned generally. But also she's raising the interesting issue of ensuring that her young adult children are able to get into stable housing. So in that way, she's also protecting them for the future. So that's a lovely arrangement. If you think of average family size in the mid-1800s, the average Canadian family had 6.6 children.
Yeah.
So in terms of caregiving for the future, when you only have one or two, you better be nice to them.
Well, yeah, you've lessened your possibility. Yeah, that's right. You're a little short on staff there. Here's Joan in Dunnville. What are your thoughts, Joan?
I agree that children, it's lovely to have your children come home, and I would certainly willingly accept my children and grandchildren home. Only problem that I see is when they're talking about children staying at home longer and marrying later and having children later, is when people in their 40s and 50s are having babies, the children do not have the privilege of having grandparents.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Too old, and then you don't get three-generation families.
Yeah.
You talk three-generation families, but that was when we got married in our early 20s,
well,
had our babies in our 20s. And
that's just added pressure on us Zoomers to live longer.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a good thing.
Thanks very much, Joan. Very interesting comments, don't you think, Marianne?
Yes, Joan is certainly pointing out that issue of shrinking family size that I had mentioned earlier. So
yeah.
If you only have one or two children and they wait till they're in Canada, the average age of marriage these days is 32 for men and 28 for women. So
yeah.
Then they wait a few more years to have children, such that in British Columbia, one in four children in preschool has a mother over 40 these days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I won't tell you. I didn't become a father until I was 44, so how's that for your record books?
Well, as they say, it's no longer age, it's life stage.
Well, that's right, and it puts pressure on me to live as long as I can.
That's right.
Marianne, thanks very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye-bye.
There's Marianne Murphy. She is associate professor in the School of Social Work at the University of British Columbia.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.